we're just about ready to start. I see one new person in the room, this young man.
It's me.
That's you. And you are?
My name is Tommy.
Tommy. My name is Dallas. Why don't we go around quickly and tell Tommy who we are?
Carol.
Jonathan.
Michelle.
Elise.
Rhoda.
Jerry.
Danny.
Bill.
Daria.
Mana.
Ananda.
Randy.
Katrina.
Joy.
Elizabeth.
Now, can you repeat those? I will ask you, I heard them say that this is metaphysical teaching. Are you familiar with metaphysical teachings? You don't have to be, I'm just
probably
asking.
Not.
Probably not.
I've heard of the word before.
Which just means beyond the physical. Metaphysics is just something that's not physical. But we use what's behind us all to bring into our lives what we want. And I often use this when I'm teaching people that you're on a, say that you're on the stage. You know perfectly well behind the stage, where the audience cannot see, are all kinds of technicians and stagehands and so forth, pulling ropes, doing all kinds of things. You never see them. This is what you, this is for all of you, by the way, not just for Tommy. This is how you want to see your life. That there's always something going on behind you. That strings and pulleys and everything is being pulled behind you. So that you can manifest what you want in your life. And that's the unseen. And that's what metaphysics is. Metaphysics is the unseen. Does that help anybody or make sense to anybody? So just realize that you're on the stage and there's all kinds of technicians behind you. And we can go on with that analogy by saying that those technicians are your guides and your angels and God itself, the universe itself. All those things you cannot see are always there to help you. Everyone here has a spirit guide. You may not have recognized that or run into it yet. But if you ask, that will come to the forefront for you. We're not here alone. We're not going through this experience that we call our life alone. You can always get help. And you get it from the things that you cannot see. So we make this statement, all things seen, this chair, myself, come from things that are not seen. All things seen come from things that are not seen. Okay? But now does that help you? Now you're perfectly clear.
I'm thinking I have that part of it.
All right. So let's begin, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to say something good about ourselves. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe already knows about us. Somebody coming in?
Yes.
Come in.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, well, I haven't started yet.
Oh, okay.
So I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. It's a wonderful life. And I am part of that wonderful life. In fact, I am wonderful. Everything is one and the same. I am one with this wonderful universe. I am one with this wonderful life. And I use this wonder and this wonderment to bring into my life what I wish to experience. And right here and right now, I want to experience abundance. I want to experience prosperity. And I certainly want to experience money. And I let that be so, and so it is.
And so it is.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. It's good to see you.
You too.
I'm getting
Thank
a
you.
Full house here tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Last week I talked about the water. Remember? Messages in water. And I wanted to bring that back up again just for a moment here tonight, because I don't know if any of you people realize that the ancients compared water to God. They compared water to God. Now, why did they do that? Because water always seeks the lowest part. It'll seep through anything. It will wear down anything. And that's what this thing we call good or God does. It seeps in from everywhere. It seeps in from everywhere. And we were using it for Tom, who wasn't here last week, and for the rest of the people that weren't here last week. When the tsunami occurred, they said that some hundreds of thousands of people died, but hundreds of thousands more people would die because of the plague that would come because of the water situation, which in any of those things, water always gets contaminated. And that's why the Red Cross goes and does all its stuff. But it didn't happen with the tsunami. It didn't happen because people went and prayed, and they changed that. They changed the water. And this is the power that we have. We have the power to change anything. It's not just water that responds to us. If anyone got the email, and the title for tonight's talk was just sensitive. This universe that we live in is sensitive to us. It's sensitive to our thinking. And when they went and prayed with that water, the water became sensitive. What do you want? What do you want me to become? And the water became that. Now you can do that with everything. It's not just water. Everything has to respond to you, because you're one and the same with everything. Tonight's little thing is about Copernicus. Does anyone know who Copernicus was?
An astrologer.
Well, he was an astrologer.
Astronomer, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But he was the one who upset the church by saying that the earth was not the center of the universe.
Right.
He also discovered that the earth turns, you know, that the sun doesn't come up and the moon and stuff and go, but the earth actually turns. So I just want to bring that up. And if you go, you can read your little thing there when you go home tonight. The whole thing is about perception and the way things are perceived. That's what we're doing here in this class. I am trying to give you a new perception of yourself. And when you get a new perception of yourself, what happens? Everything around you changes. And you change also. So when we do that affirmation, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me, everyone's still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Except Tom. It's to make you realize that you are wonderful. And to change the perception you have of yourself so that you actually can say, I am wonderful. The other reason that you do that, or any affirmation, is not only to change yourself, it's to make a hook inside of you. And when I use the word hook, it means a hook to hang something on. You see, we were never taught that we were wonderful. So if I go up to somebody who doesn't have a hook for wonderful and I say, you're wonderful, they go, you have to make the hook. I go up to somebody and say, you're rich, and they don't have a hope for that, there's no place for it to go. It just slides right off them down. Just go. So what we're trying to do is make hooks to hook this stuff on. How about the one that you're totally lovable? You have to have a hope for that. Because you didn't hear that, did you? You didn't hear that, maybe even from your parents. Or you didn't hear it enough to make a hook. You know.
But you heard what you weren't.
But you, of course.
That hook works.
Of course. We always hear of that. And we learn most of our stuff is through omission, you know. Most of the stuff we learn is through omission. Because, and I'll tell you a story. My brother is a little taller than I am, maybe an inch or maybe a half an inch.
It doesn't bother you at all, does it?
Doesn't bother me too much. Not now, but it used to bother the hell out of me because my parents always said, oh, your brother's so tall. Jack is so tall, I thought I must be a shrimp. I kept that in my mind for years. Till one day I walked into a room and I was the tallest person in the room. I looked around and I was taller. Then I read where the average American male is only 5'7".
Really?
Yeah, is the average. And I happen to be 5'9". But you see, we get these ideas through omission. We get an idea about ourselves through omission. And we're trying to learn to change the concept of our own selves. The concept that we don't have money. The concept that we can't make money. The concept that we can't find a job. All those things are impossible. We have to be able to do all of them. We don't do them because we've heard for so many years, you're not talented. You see, and which is another impossibility. Everyone has a talent. So we have to start thinking of ourselves differently, gain a new perception. And that's what that whole little article is about, the idea of changing your perception. When you change your perception, you change your whole world. You change your whole world. You do not change the thing itself. You see, I can't make that coffee table into a bed. I can't do that. I cannot change. But I can change my perception of it. I could put a pillow on it and make it a bed if I want. But that's just changing things. You see, it still remains a coffee table. So what we want to realize is that the world that we perceive with our mind. Now we come to what's called a collective consciousness, and we decide that the world is this way or that way. But the world that we see out there, and this is where we get ourselves in trouble, we look at something and we say it's real because we saw it, and it's not real at all. See, the only thing that's real is what you're thinking. The only world you're living is the world you're living in your mind. How many times have you heard, you are the world? It's absolutely true. You are the world. The world, this universe, everything, the stars, live inside of you. Live inside of your thinking and inside of your mind.
Dallas, can I share something?
Certainly.
From being in this class, I've learned that I am lovable, worthy, and deserving. Whereas up until now, I lived the life of being sorry if anyone did anything for me. And now I'm not sorry. Andy came and picked me up today, and I was not sorry that he went out of his way. I'm just grateful that he did. Yes. And I try to take the word sorry out of my vocabulary. And sometimes it's hard to find a way, because it doesn't mean not being sorry for anything I did wrong or something like that, but not for existing. And all my life I was taught, you're sorry if anyone goes out of their way, but it's okay if you do.
Yeah.
And so I finally got it. I don't have to be sorry. There is a place for me in the universe.
There is a place, and a wonderful place for you in the universe.
And I really got it here. I got the hook for it here.
Good. And that's what we're building, is hooks. Even though we call this abundance and prosperity, including money, but almost everyone in here has made more money or has more money than they had when they first came. Is that not true?
Yeah.
It's true. And it just seeps into you. We just keep seeping something into you until a click comes in your mind. Jonathan, you've had tons of clicks going on in your mind, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Every week, I'm having more.
Yes. Do you want to tell them about your wonderful vacation?
Oh, yeah. We went on holiday to the UK, and I met a guy who was so we went first class as well, but I work for British Airways, so that,
But that's prosperity.
It is. But I met a guy who, I just did a little favour for him once, and he said, when you come to the UK, call me, because, I might be able to help you out. So anyway, we went over to the UK, and he said, oh, you can come and stay at my hotel. Well, when we got there, he had reserved this beautiful little cottage for us. And out of interest, I thought I'd just have a look online to see how much it cost. And it was it 455? Is that a night? I think it was something like $500 a night, which he gave to us. And then what else happened on that trip? He provided dinner for us and for free, and none of this was anticipated, but. I was just very grateful for it.
Yes.
I just said thank you, and can I have some more, please?
You always have to ask for more, please. But see, this is prosperity. We want money, but we want prosperity, want abundance. You can live a very nice life with very little money if you have a prosperity consciousness, because things will just keep coming to you. People will give you things. I just love it when people give me things. And I never feel sorry. And I'm glad that Rhoda or anyone else in here, who, if you feel sorry, that was something that was perpetrated upon you by the society that we live in. Because they want to tell you that you're no good. And you have to be sorry for being here, you sorry soul. How many people have heard that? He's such a sorry soul. It's a horrible, horrible thing to do. I hate the word sorry soul. I also hate the word lost soul. When people say, oh, it's a lost soul, there's no such thing as a lost soul. Please, people. This universe we live in knows where everything is. Nothing can be lost. Nothing can be lost in your life. It's always here. Always here. But you have to know that. And you have to see that what's going on behind you. And once you know that, your life will become much better, much fuller. Because you don't have to do it all yourself. And you're opening yourself up because you say to yourself, I am worthy. I do deserve. And I'm completely lovable. So people will start giving you things and giving you things and giving you things. Because they agree with you. You see? They agree with you. If you're mean, hateful, and all that kind of stuff, you think people are going to give you something? I give them a kick. You don't. So we're changing. We're changing how we think about ourselves. And when we change how we think about ourselves, this reality that we see has to change along with it. Because we're doing it in our mind. We're doing it with our thinking. We're doing it with our thinking. I had a client who said to me, well, I'm very smart, I'm very intelligent, yada, yada, yada. And I said, well, that's nice. But she said, no one ever bragged on me when I was at home. She said, my mother never put anything on the refrigerator door. Never put any, you know, nothing to make her feel that she was important. So if that has happened to you, start doing it on your own refrigerator. I have little signs on mine that people sent to me or said to me, and I stick them on my refrigerator. I no longer need my parents. I no longer need my parents. They were wonderful people. Little Blackie. But I don't blame them for a thing. I realize that I picked them for some reason, and that I came here to learn something from them. And if you spend the rest of your life trying to make your parents wrong or trying to figure out why they did something to you, give it up. It's a waste of time. You'll never figure it out. You'll never figure it out. So just leave that and start doing it for yourself. Start building your own hooks. Start saying nice things to your own self. That's why we do these affirmations. That's why we do spiritual mind treatment, so that our mind heals itself. You see?
So one time my daughter said to me, "You never brag about me." And I looked at her and I said, "Whatever I say, you don't like. No matter what I'd say, it wasn't right."
But now you.
So it's very hard to do.
But you've healed that with your daughter, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, but not because she's asked. We both healed.
Yeah. Good.
But sometimes it's impossible for a parent to say anything right.
But that's true. I have never been a parent, but I could understand.
So I have it from my parents, from my children,
yes,
from my grandchildren.
Right.
And they all take it differently.
Yeah. But don't repeat what your parents did. Otherwise, you're leading their life and not yours. You see, there's a thing, how do you live your own life? To live your own life, you have to give up all the ideas of that your parents had. Otherwise, you're leading their life. And nothing has changed in the world. It's just generation after generation doing the same thing. So we have to learn to think differently. And we have to learn to think differently about ourselves. That's all it is. And that's all I do, by the way, in private sessions or here. I try to give you a better idea of yourself. I try to pull something out of you that you haven't noticed before, so that you can think differently about yourself and say, "Oh yeah, I am a nice person. Oh yeah, I have talent. I can have a sitcom." You see? So that this mind starts thinking correctly. You see, you have to make your mind think what you want it to think. How many people realize that? Yes. Because you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Your mind is yours. So learn to use it so that it brings into your life what you want, so that you're not out there in what we call the world outside of this room with all the stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice and being sorry for yourself. That's going on out there. Don't allow it to go on in your life. Notice what you're doing and change it. That's the most marvelous thing and gift that we have. See, we're not stuck. We're not stuck with anything. It doesn't matter what our background was. It doesn't matter what our parents did. Any of that stuff does not matter. What matters is what you are thinking right here and right now. If you hated yourself an hour ago, don't go back and do that. Start over right now and say, "I love myself." And immediately forgive yourself. Immediately forgive yourself. See? What's the highest form of worship you can give God?
To love yourself.
To love yourself. Why is that?
Because you're God.
Yes. Because all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. And what's going on over here?
That form of loving yourself.
Never mind.
That's for the B side of the
tape. I was going to say, are we becoming X-rated? He turned you in, didn't he? So, we must learn to see things differently. That's all that this is. That's all that life is. That's all that this teaching is. We make a statement, change your mind, change your life. What does that mean, to change your mind? Just means to think differently and to see things differently and not believe in appearances. You see, when we look out and we see something with these eyes and we say, oh, that must be the truth, that must be this, that, the other thing. Your eyes lie to you constantly. And yet we say, oh, they have to be right when we look out. We see nothing but with the eyes anyway. The eyes merely stimulate the brain. And then we decide what we're looking at. You see, we decide what we're looking at. The eyes don't decide a thing. And how do they lie to you? If you look down a railroad track, do not the tracks come together? Out in that line. If you look out in the horizon, does not a ship drop over? Out and out line. So don't judge by appearances. Learn to judge by rightful thinking. And what do I mean by rightful thinking? Let's use a little example. Rightful thinking means to think from truth, to think from universal truth. So, at the present moment, you look in your checkbook, and the funds look very low. That's merely a fact. The truth is, you're rich beyond compare. But you're rich beyond compare. So when you look at anything, and with the appearance, you have to change that appearance in your own mind. And if you can look at something like your checkbook and know that you're rich, and that money is always freely circulating in your life, it will do that for you. It will do that for you. But if you look at the checkbook and say, oh, my funds are low, I have no money, then that's what you'll get. I said a long time ago to somebody who said they had no money in this class, I believe, never use that expression, I have no money. And I'll tell you why, not only because it is immediately an affirmation and your mind will go to that and make that come true for you, but the other reason is it's an out-and-out lie. It's an out-and-out lie because everyone has money. I had a friend once who said, I have no money in my checking account. But of course she had a savings account that could have bought everybody, you know. But she always thought she was poor, and she was never poor. But this thing about having no money, if you're at home and you say to yourself, I have no money, start looking around like under the cushions of the couch and so forth, and you'll find money. You'll find money. Or you'll remember, oh, I have pennies hid somewhere. I saved this. See, we always have money. We always have money. I have in my cupboard little Chinese chow things or something. Well, you eat out of them anyway. And I fill them up with money. And I fill them up with money till they fall over. You know, they spill over. And they're all down over the cupboard. The whole bottom of this cupboard's filled with these. It's change and stuff. Just filled with it. Every time I open that door, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. and I allow it to do that. And it's a mess. But that's a visual affirmation for me. That's a visual affirmation for me. My cup runneth over. And that's the type of thing that you should start doing for yourself and start seeing for yourself. So that it happens to you. Little Christine, remember she made the affirmation, all my bills are paid on or before time? And it took her 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden all her bills were paid on or before time, and money started to come into her. You see, these things really work. Why do they work? Because great energy behind us that we cannot see. Always helping us. Always doing things for us. Now I can give the secret of life away she left. But these are the things that you want to see. These are the things that you want to do. And not buy in to the world out there. Not buy into what's going on. You see, there's more going on and wonderful things going on in the world than the Michael Jackson trial. Yeah. I know it's hard to believe, but there is hard to believe. But we get caught up in the world. We get caught up thinking this is the way it is, and it's not. Each and every one of you is building your own reality, is creating your own reality, and is manifesting your own reality. And this is the power that you have. And more things will come to you. Jonathan is open now, and things have happened to him to prove to him that it works. So more things will come, because now he's starting to really believe.
Can I say about the free Laker tickets and the free Duran Duran tickets that I got the other day as well?
You're saying
that was just last week, yeah.
Yeah. Now this is the way life is supposed to be for everybody. Did anyone hear when Jonathan said that, say in their mind, oh yeah, for him but not for me? See, you cannot do that to yourself. Why can you not do that to yourself? Well, there's hundreds of reasons, but the basic reason is we're all one. The other reason is God does not show favorites. The universe does not show favorites. It doesn't say, I hate you, but I love Jonathan, so now I'm going to give him tickets. Doesn't
do that. I have an affirmation that always brings me free stuff as well. I had like an amazing opulent free weekend in Vegas. Well, it cost me $20. But I was at the Bellagio, and I was at this person's home that was outrageous. But you just say, it's a free universe, it's a free universe, it's a free universe. You have to say it 3 times. And you'll get all kinds of free stuff.
Because the universe has to support you. It has to support you. Because you're one with it. You know, you can't be anything. You see, you can't be anything but the universe itself. When we look out into the universe and we see all that abundance going on, it has to be with inside of you also. It has to be with inside of you. So we just have to change our mind. Now, what happens is that ego gets in there and starts to fight with you. And I think we gave you this one before. Do you remember what Mary Baker Eddy said? Mm-hmm. You love that one. Mary Baker Eddy said, you must be like a lawyer in front of the court, and you must make sure that you always win. You see, and what do? We allow our mind to win, don't we? Finally, it beats us up, and we finally say, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm nothing. You cannot do that to yourself. You have to say, ha, wait a minute here. I'm one with the only power in the universe. I and the Creator are one and the same. I have power. Say, and then go on with your wonderful, and I'm this and I'm that. Do it. And if the mind says, oh, no, do it till the mind agrees with you. Till your own mind agrees with you. I step out of my bathtub every morning, out of the shower, and there's a mirror there, and I say, ha, wonderful, wonderful me. And I do it with a smile on my face, and I convince myself of that. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do this either 30-some years ago. I'd have said, oh my God. You know, because first of all, I'd have heard my father say, who the hell do you think you are? You know, you can't go around thinking things like that. What will the neighbors say? If the neighbors find out you're wonderful, we'll have to leave town.
It just occurred to me, my mother always used to say, the universe doesn't revolve around you.
Oh, yes, I've done that. See, these are the things that we grew up with, and we have to get, they'll bubble up in us. We have to look at them, and then we have to let those go. And we let those go just by looking at them and loving them, blessing them, and releasing them. And certainly say, well, Mother, that was nice. Wrong. But nice. And then let it go. Just let it go. Otherwise, it's not going to get you where you want to go in this world. It's not going to get you where you want to go. You see? That's like hates and hurts, slights and resentments, all those things, just give them up. They'll never get you anywhere. The mind wants to tell you, if you hold on to them a while, something will happen to the other person, or something may happen to you. But it won't. It won't even make you worse. It'll make you bitter. No one wants bitter. Not a nice way to live.
I have a question about that.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes I hold on to a bitterness. I don't like it, but sometimes I hold on thinking that if I let it go, then nothing will happen and the person will do it to me again, or it will happen to me again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yes, I know what you mean, because the mind wants to do that. And you think that, oh, I can get back at the other person, or that this is doing a game with the other person. Somebody did something to somebody 30 years ago, and the man held on to that, And he finally ran into the man, and he said, do you know what you did to me 30 years ago? And the man said, no, I don't remember it. See, the other party usually doesn't remember it, but we do. That's that whole idea, is to see, you're only ever hurt once, you're only ever punished once. After that, anything that you do, you're doing yourself. You become your own punisher every time you think about it. And that's the one that Rhoda likes. Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? We put ourselves in prison. If we hold a resentment or a hate or anything, we're the ones that are in prison, not the person that did it to us. So you just look at that person. You can call him a fool. You can call him anything you want. But you have to love, bless, and release them. Now, why I'm saying that, you can call him a fool or anything. What happens with that? You just called God a fool. So you can't do that. I was telling somebody, client, where were they going? Maybe they were going for an interview. I don't remember now. But I told them, what you have to remember any time that you're talking to anyone, or you're going for an interview or anything, you're only ever talking to God. It's always God talking to God. When I'm talking here, it's God talking to God. See, there's nothing else. There's no other reality. So that's the way to look at everything. Everything is God. You're saying. Yes, and they may do stupid things, and these people may do stupid things, but they're still God. They just haven't become aware of that yet. You see. And it's not, by the way, our job to make people aware. If somebody's asleep, let them sleep. You don't have to nudge them and say, get up, get up, get up.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. You don't do, you know, that's not our job. Mm-hmm. Your job is to learn to love yourself. Your job is to know that you're worthy and that you're deserving. When you know these things and you can manifest this in your life, that's how you help other people. Because then you give them the freedom to do that also. But if you live in the world that tells you you can't do this, you have to act this way, you have to do that, blah, 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 then people start imitating that instead of the truth, the reality of God. And here again, I use that word a great deal. That doesn't bother you, does it, Tom?
Yeah.
No.
No,
good. Some people it bothers. If it bothers you, that's your problem.
It doesn't bother God.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it certainly doesn't. It doesn't bother me. So you have to work through that. You have to work through those things. If God bothers you, work through it till you figure it out. You know, I tell people you don't have to say God. You can say Charlie. I don't care. God doesn't care either. But the whole thing is this idea of changing your perception of who you are. And changing your perception of what this reality really is. Instead of looking out there and thinking that it's, the world is filled with nothing but war and all that kind of stuff. And it's not. There's just miracle after miracle after miracle going on all day long, but it's not sensational enough to get any news, to get on the news. Not. We wonder that the mind, the ego part of the mind, wants what? Drama and tragedy all the time. It doesn't want peace. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, we come here because we want abundance and prosperity and we want money. And people want this and they want that. But everyone, what they're looking for is peace of mind. They're looking for peace of mind. They're waiting for their mind to say, geez, you're wonderful. You're great. You're talented. You can do anything. Instead of saying, oh, you better be cautious. Oh, that couldn't happen to you. That happened to the other person. Or like you said last week, if he gets the part, you don't. Mm-hmm. You all get the parts. There's a part for everybody. There's a part for everybody. I was helping a young lady who wanted a job, and she wanted a job in a university, and she had the particular university. Now, you can bring yourself up to that point, but you can't say, this is the job for me. You know, you can say, I want a job similar to this, I want a job blah, 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 because you can't take somebody else's good away from them. You can't do that. But you can say, I want a job similar to this, and I want to do this, this, and this. She no longer left my place. Maybe 30 minutes later, she called. She said, I just ran into somebody who offered me a job at another university. At another university. And it gave her all the things that she wanted, the summer off and this, that, and the other thing, whatever she wanted. This is the way it works. This is the way it works. There's always something out there for you. So there's always an acting thing out there for you. And I don't know if you know this. You're never competing with Wesley. Do you know that? I knew I had to bring that up.
Okay.
Does everyone here know that we never compete? It's an impossibility to compete. We create, and we're creative, but we do not compete with anyone. Why is that? Because we're all God. God doesn't compete with itself. An impossibility. Why else is it an impossibility, Wesley?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I.
Because there's something
in
everyone.
Unicorn.
We're all unicorns. We're all unicorns. Does everyone realize that? Well, you have to realize that you're a unicorn. There has never been anyone like you before. And there'll be never anyone like you again. There's no one that you can compare yourself to. You are unique. You are what's called the rarest of the rare. You are truly a unicorn. Try to get that into your mind. That way you'll realize, I don't have to compete. Who am I competing with, you know? Do you think animals compete with each other? No. Well, they don't.
The rutting season gets awfully competitive.
Well, that's they're not competing. They're not competing.
They're challenging each other to see who's going to be the supreme alpha male and get the, you know, that's competition.
I'm going to give you an alpha male. Air male alpha. Do not compete. You will get yourself into trouble every time you start out with that idea of competing. And we were taught that as children, to be compete. You had to be better than this one, better than that one. You're already the best. You're already the best. So relax into that. Get comfortable with that. And then you'll see life flowing by you. And when life flows by you, it only brings to you what you want, what you need, what you desire, and what is best for you. And it'll just keep. You'll just flow with it, and it'll flow with you, and you'll just, it's amazing.
But you have to hear it.
But you have to hear it.
And acknowledge it.
And acknowledge it.
Otherwise it can go right past you.
Yes. You have to have those hooks inside of you to latch on to these things. And to hook them and keep them in you so that you know at every moment that you're wonderful.
You know, the other night at your show, my husband wanted some tongues in the middle of the performance. And he wanted me to go out and find some for him. And it was like, not between scenes, really, but there was that time when there was a shift in the scenes. So I started walking up the aisle, and I hear God saying to me, ask someone in the audience. And I'm saying to myself, I can't do that. I'm not just going to say I need some tongues. And I thought to myself, why not? And sure enough, a lady had some.
What's the title of your book?
Ask and It Is Given. Mm. Not my book, but the book I'm reading now.
Well, I could have gone right past
it. That's the teaching.
Yes. I didn't have to honor it.
I did an affirmation because I realized that I didn't think I was deserving of jobs. And as soon as I did it, I got two jobs. And it was, I accept God's gift graciously and gratefully. And I just kept saying that, and I got a job, and then I got another one.
Yeah. The universe is sensitive to you. Everything is sensitive to you. So you ask. And a lot of people don't bother to ask. I learned that years ago from my brother. He said to me, Dallas, if it's not worth asking for, it's not worth having. So when you want something, ask for it, and it will be given on to you. And that, go ahead.
How do you ask for something without dwelling on your lack of it?
Well, by not, first of all, by not judging by appearances, which we just said. And you're creating what you want in your mind. So you keep that in your mind, regardless of what is to the contrary. You see yourself like, if you want to be rich, you just keep seeing that you're rich. And when you not only see it, you start acting like you're rich. You have to, you know, do all of that, and you'll become rich. You must feel it, taste it, smell it, use all your senses, and then there it is.
I don't remember where I read this recently, but that, because that has been something that I've been working on. I've been learning how to let it go instead of, and I read something that really drove the point home, because yearning for something, if you don't let it go, the yearning reinforces that you don't have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm making it worse. Like, you know, we'll just stay in it. So just like trust, put it out there. What I started to do was, I have a jar that I used to use for when I'd have a breakup. And I'd write, you know, what I was feeling about the guy, you know, and I'd be like, I'm going to put this in here so I don't have to think about it all day. And if I want to come back, you know, and be grouchy about it later and be pissed off at him, I can take it out of the jar. And I never did. I was always, you know, it would get it out. But just, I started doing that with my hanging on to, you know, getting the death grip on these things. I just couldn't leave it alone. I was like, I know what I'm doing. I'm pushing it away by doing this. So I started writing on a piece of paper and putting it in the jar. Because I was so afraid that I would forget. That's how I felt about it.
But that's the feelings. You see, a yearning feeling, that's not going to do it. And wanting something, it's not going to do it. Because if you want something, it makes you what? Wanting all the time. You have to know that you already have it.
There's a contrary school of thought out there, like, that was set by, which is huge. It's like, you know, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about building up a white hot desire for the things that you want, so that you'd be driven for them. So is that not the way then, or
what?
That you do have a great desire for something?
Oh, you have a great desire for it. That's the warmth of feeling again.
How's that different from yearning, though?
Because, you know, word structure, thought, and if you use the word yearning, what does it do to your body inside?
Makes you want it.
May I say something? The big thing about Napoleon Hill's book is anything the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve.
Yes.
So in other words, he's saying you see it and believe it. Feel like you have it. You've already taken it on.
That's true. And Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, was written, I think, in
50 years ago or more.
Yeah, something a long time ago, and it's been read by billions of people, and it's still in print today. So why isn't everyone rich? The reason why that people are not rich, it's a terrific book. And he interviewed people, Carnegie and all these people, and got this all down. The reason that it works and doesn't work is he never explained the idea that you have to change your belief. Now, a person who's very poor picks up that book and they read all that stuff and they say, oh, this all makes sense. I'm going out and apply all these theories. but he never changed his belief that he was poor. He never changed his belief that he was poor. You have to always change your belief first, you see. Once your belief is changed, it's always done unto you as you believe, and as soon as you believe, and people say, how do you do that? Well, you start to change it. You start to notice it. How am I feeling? Why am I thinking this way? Oh, it must be a belief system. Think I'll change that. And you change that belief system about yourself. A belief system, and it comes with affirmations. The belief system, wonderful, wonderful me. Before that, it was probably the belief system could have been, oh, you're not so good, you're not so good looking, you're not this, you're not that, whatever. But I'm sure no one woke up and the mind immediately said, oh, wonderful, wonderful you. The mind is not going to do that, because this mind that we call the ego mind is connected with race mind. Race mind is the consciousness of the race set up there, meaning the human race. Now, when I hear again, I have to explain this so we don't get mixed up here. You know, we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. There is only one mind, the mind of God. And I am using that mind right here and right now. You don't think I'm using my own mind, do you? Heavens, no. But then we say, oh, well, we have an ego and we have race mind. But that is all contained within the mind of God. There isn't the mind of God and race mind. Why is that?
They're the same.
Well, you can't have that because it would be separation. Mm-hmm. See, there would be two things going on. And although the world always tells you that there's two things going on, there's always left and right, up and down. Mm-hmm. There's always a paradox going on in the world. There's no paradox in the mind of God. But, oh, this is, I'll try to explain. But all that, the paradox and all that, is contained within the mind of God. See, there can be no other mind. There can be no other mind. How do I know that? We all look at that and say it's a table, don't we? We all have different eyes, but we only have one mind that interprets that as a table. The mind of God. Well, I wanted to tell you, you need a bridge between the seen and the unseen. You need a bridge between what you want to manifest and what isn't manifested. And the bridge that you use to manifest something when it's not there is trust. You have to build up your trust. And as soon as you start trusting, it comes. But that's the bridge between the seen and the unseen, is the trust that it will appear. And it does. But what do? Our minds start to tell us, oh, it's not coming, it's not this. See, we lose that trust. You have to know, and you have to trust, that this system works. And it works, people. It doesn't, and it's not willy-nilly. You know, it doesn't work one day and take a day off. Mm-hmm. It works 24/7. Mm-hmm. You see. So if you can get it to work for one, you just spread it out and make it work all the time. You know, it's nice to say, oh, isn't that wonderful? God gave me this, or did this, or the universe, or whatever. But he didn't give me that. No, gives you everything. And you have to have trust that it will always give you everything. That it will always support you. That it will always protect you. What was I doing the other day? And I thought, oh, thank God I don't live in that. This thing of, I think it was a cell phone now. I don't own one. Now they can steal your
oh, yeah.
Something from your. I get so tired of all that thinking, somebody's going to steal this from me, going to steal that from me. I heard an older man say, well, if I use my credit card, will somebody know? Well, of course mm-hmm. somebody's going to know, like the credit card company. But he, you know, he wants to, he's thinking now somebody's going to steal. You see what the world has done? It has set up nothing but fear constantly. Mm-hmm. Nothing but fear. And we do not teach fear here. We teach faith. We teach trust.
Dallas, when I first came in here, you used to say, the easiest thing in the world is not to believe this.
Oh, yes, it's so easy. You can disprove this up one side, down the other. You can disprove this whole teaching, this whole philosophy. Easy, very easy. I can do it right now for you. But that isn't what you want to do to yourself. See, here again, life is a choice, isn't it? So you have to choose and say to yourself, huh, I'm going to prove this. This makes sense to me, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it. I was going crazy several years ago, like 30-some years ago. I was at the end of my rope, really. And I said to myself, if I don't find out something to hold on to, I'm not going to stay on this plane of action. I'm leaving because people were mean, they were hateful. This was going on, that was, you know, it was just, blah, blah, blah. Of course, I was probably mean and hateful too. But I walked in to a Religious Science church, and I immediately felt at home, and I immediately went, oh my God. This is what I've always believed. This is what makes absolute sense to me, but no one ever talked about it. No one ever said anything about it. And I never left in all those years. And it gets better and better and better and better. And life makes sense. I don't have to be bothered with all the nits and fleas of life. We're not here to be bothered with the nits and fleas. We're here to learn to love ourselves, to respect ourselves, to know that we are worthy. This is what we're here for. We're here to know that we are wonderful. And you are wonderful, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
We have a basket on the corner here for donations for Dallas's class. There's a sign-in sheet here. Also, if anybody would like any tapes of this or any other week's class, there's another page here. Write your name down and what week you want, if you want a copy of any tape, and I will make you one. Tapes cost $5 a piece. Dallas is also available for privates, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you got that box of books.
Let me see if I have one.